Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Hey, Herman and Korn. So I have a question for you guys that touches, I think, upon how we can alter standard AI tools like large language models and tailor them for our specific needs and the various ways in which we can do that. So we talked lately about fine-tuning. And I shared that my first AI fine-tuning experiment was fine-tuning Whisper, the speech-to-text model from OpenAI, on about 1 hour, just as a proof of concept of my voice. And my objective was, well, firstly, if I just give the model direct exposure to my voice with a source of truth, will it get better accuracy? And also, will it be able to transcribe correctly niche vocabulary that I might use frequently, like technical words, containerization, Kubernetes, you know, that whole long list of jargon that you kind of lapse into after a while, second nature. So that was my objective. And it worked from what I can see so far. I have been kind of dabbling with it from time to time, using still mostly my regular models. But so far, I've seen encouraging examples that it can actually work as intended. The one thing about the fine-tuning process, however, was that it was not very easy, which is why it took me like a year to sort of learn how to actually do it. You have to prepare your data set according to a very, very specific format that is often different between different models and different tasks you're training a model on. So a data set for generating a LoRA for style of image generation, data set for generating a fine tune of a large language model, and for generating a fine tune of an audio recognition model, they're all going to have idiosyncratic data set requirements. So a lot of work, which is what I found surprising, actually doesn't so much go into data set collection as it does into data set preparation, environment setup, all these tasks. And then, of course, you have to do the actual fine tuning on, you know, it could be a notebook or using it in Modal. I just used a Python program, but that's work too. So although the results are useful and powerful, the process doesn't really lend itself to very quick repetition. Now, why I thought that that was problematic is, let's take the example of speech to text again. Right now, I wanted to train it on tech vocab, but let's just say for argument's sake that I change career and I become a doctor. And over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, as I go through medical school, I'm going to be starting to use niche medical vocab. Now, in this imaginary scenario, what would I do? Would I create another fine tune after a year? I can't really erase my tech data from the previous one, but let's say I don't want to. But more pertinently, when you look at these speech to text programs, the ones that I use frequently, you have dictionaries, right? You can add your word list, and that's kind of a lightweight addition. But it strikes me as much more powerful that the ideal circumstance, in my opinion, would be to have a model that was self-correcting and self-updating, because stuff like a vocab list, you know, it's program specific. It's being kind of tacked on sometimes as a rewriting rule, but you're not fundamentally changing the ability of the model. Whereas when you fine-tune something, you're actually training the model to really recognize that, whether we're talking again about an audio, a vocab list, or a style of generation or whatever. So you're, and that of course is, that means you can use that model in whatever user interface you want and you're going to keep all your customization. So it's more powerful. So when I was thinking about what would the ideal situation be, and let's just take one more example of a model that I sort of was thinking about lately, is a simple content recognition engine. Let's say something that recommends Netflix movies to me, or gives me, you know, content recommendations. So I can kind of was looking at how to actually implement that. And you can start by, you know, just taking a specialist AI model for recommendations and saying, these are my particular unique tastes in movies that are going to be different from everyone else's. And you can get going. Now, what happens again in the same situation if your tastes are going to change over time, or you want to say, I really, really didn't like these movies? So that kind of learning at the moment, the default mechanism that we kind of use in AI tends to be at the memory layer. So the model is going to be the same, and we're going to take this input from the user, whether it's words or whether it's content preferences, and we're going to kind of put that into a vectorized memory store and have the model kind of parse our prompts through the prism of the context and the prompts and the model. But again, what I keep wondering is, wouldn't it be so much more elegant if we could have something like a buffer that records updates to the model, whether it's in the form of new words to be that the model needs to be taught, or updated data that the model about the user that the model has to learn. And instead of having this a manual fine-tuning process, there is this automatic training fine-tuning that occurs periodically. So fine-tuning goes from being a very periodic and very deliberate and very manual method to kind of an auto-correcting and auto-calibrating and auto-training model that happens incrementally. So that's my question. That architecture that I described, does it exist? Is it something that's being worked on? Any interesting implementations that have explored this method to date for, I think, the very important task that as much as personalized AI is useful, people aren't static. So while you can get a very useful AI experience from a model that's fine-tuned once, that fine-tuning degrades in utility over time as it becomes less and less of an accurate reflection of the person it's designed to assist. So how can AI systems be designed to reflect that?
Welcome to My Weird Prompts, the podcast where Daniel Rosehill sends us the most fascinating, mind-bending, and often deeply technical questions, and Herman and I try to make sense of them. I'm Korn, your endlessly curious co-host.
And I'm Herman, here to add a touch of technical precision to Korn's enthusiasm. This week, Daniel has given us a prompt that really cuts to the core of what personalized AI means, and the significant challenge of keeping it, well, personal over time. He's asking about something quite profound, how we can move AI from a static snapshot to a living, breathing entity that evolves with its user.
That's right, Herman. Daniel's prompt this week is all about how we can alter standard AI tools, like large language models and speech-to-text models, to tailor them for our specific needs, and the various ways we can do that. He recently shared his own experience, fine-tuning OpenAI's Whisper model, a speech-to-text AI with about an hour of his own voice data.
It's a fantastic real-world example, Korn. Daniel's objective was twofold. First, to see if direct exposure to his voice would improve accuracy for his unique vocal patterns, and second, to see if it could correctly transcribe niche vocabulary he uses frequently, like containerization or Kubernetes.
Oh, I know those words well from Daniel's prompts. They're definitely not everyday conversation. So, he wanted the AI to learn his specific tech jargon. And it sounds like his experiment worked, right? He saw encouraging examples that it could actually perform as intended.
Indeed. The fine-tuned Whisper model was able to better understand his voice and correctly transcribe those specialized terms. This highlights the immense power of fine-tuning, taking a general-purpose model and customizing it for a very specific use case, significantly improving performance and relevance for that particular domain or individual.
But, and this is where it gets really interesting, Daniel pointed out that while the results were useful and powerful, the fine-tuning process itself was far from easy. He mentioned it took him like a year to learn how to do it properly. That sounds like a significant barrier to entry for most people.
It absolutely is, Korn. Daniel described having to prepare his data set according to very specific formats, which often differ between models and tasks. A data set for fine-tuning an image generation model, for instance, would be vastly different from one for a large language model or an audio recognition model. These idiosyncratic data set requirements, coupled with environment setup and the actual training process, make it a complex and time-consuming endeavor. It's not just about collecting data. It's about meticulously preparing it.
Okay, so a lot of effort up front for a powerful, tailored AI. But then Daniel introduces the core dilemma. He poses a hypothetical. What if he changes careers? What if he stops talking about Kubernetes and containerization and becomes a doctor, needing the AI to understand pneumothorax or tachycardia? He can't just erase his old tech data or easily update the existing fine-tune. He'd essentially have to start over, or at least go through a similar painstaking fine-tuning process for the new domain.
This is precisely the static snapshot problem Daniel is highlighting. When you fine-tune a model, you're essentially freezing its learned parameters at a specific point in time based on the data you provided. It creates a highly optimized version for that particular context. But human beings, as Daniel aptly put it, are not static. Our vocabularies evolve, our preferences shift, our knowledge expands. A fine-tuned model, after a year or two, might become less and less relevant because its internal representation of you or your domain hasn't kept pace.
So, it's like buying a custom-tailored suit, but then your body shape changes. The suit still fits the old you, but not the new you. And you can't just untailor it or retailor it with a simple button push.
A perfect analogy, Korn. And Daniel also touched on existing simpler solutions like vocabulary dictionaries. These are lists of words you can add to a speech, to text system, for instance, to improve recognition of specific terms. But he correctly noted these are often program-specific and act more like rewriting rules rather than fundamentally changing the model's underlying intelligence.
Yes, he said they don't fundamentally change the model's ability. It's like teaching the model to recognize Kubernetes as a specific string of characters, but it doesn't necessarily integrate that into a deeper understanding of the concept, or how it relates to other tech terms. It's just a surface-level addition.
Precisely. A dictionary provides a lookup table, a rule-based override. It doesn't modify the millions or billions of parameters within the neural network that represent the model's understanding of language, context, and nuance. True fine-tuning alters these fundamental parameters, allowing the model to genuinely learn new patterns, styles, or vocabularies and generalize them across different tasks or user interfaces.
Okay, so that brings us to Daniel's ideal circumstance. He envisions a model that's self-correcting and self-updating. He talks about a buffer that records updates to the model new words, updated user data, and then triggers automatic, periodic, incremental fine-tuning. He calls it an auto-correcting, auto-calibrating, auto-training model that happens incrementally. That sounds incredibly advanced, Herman. Does such a thing even exist, or is it pure science fiction at this point?
It's a vision that aligns very closely with some of the most cutting-edge research in AI. Korn, particularly in the fields of continual learning, online learning, and adaptive AI systems. While a fully realized, off-the-shelf, auto-correcting, auto-calibrating, auto-training model isn't ubiquitous yet, the components and theoretical underpinnings are very much active areas of development.
So, what exactly are those components? How would this buffer system work in practice?
Let's break it down. Daniel's buffer concept is essentially a dynamic memory or experience replay mechanism. In traditional machine learning, models are trained on a fixed data set in a batch process. Once trained, they're deployed and their knowledge is static. Daniel's buffer suggests an ongoing feedback loop.
So, as I use the AI, it's constantly collecting new information about me?
Exactly. Imagine your interaction with a personalized AI. When you introduce a new word it doesn't recognize or provide explicit feedback like, I really didn't like that movie, or even implicit signals like how long you dwell on a certain piece of content, that information is temporarily stored in this buffer.
And then what happens? Does it just sit there?
No. That's where the auto-training comes in. Periodically, or perhaps based on a threshold of new data collected, this buffer would trigger a micro-fine-tuning event. instead of retraining the entire model from scratch, which is computationally expensive and risks catastrophic forgetting, where the model forgets previously learned information when learning new things. These systems employ techniques designed for incremental learning.
Catastrophic forgetting sounds pretty bad. So, it learns new things but forgets old things. That wouldn't be very personal, would it?
No, it wouldn't. It's a major challenge in continual learning. Researchers are exploring various strategies to mitigate this. One approach is elastic weight consolidation, EWC, where the model identifies which of its parameters are most crucial for previously learned tasks and protects them, allowing other, less critical parameters to adapt to new information. Another is replay-based learning, where the buffer not only stores new data, but also a small representative sample of old data, which is then occasionally replayed alongside new data during updates to reinforce prior knowledge.
Okay, so it's not just learning new things, but trying to retain the old things it knew about me. That makes a lot more sense for a truly personalized AI. And how does this relate to the self-correcting aspect Daniel mentioned?
The self-correcting aspect ties into what we call ACE reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF, but applied continuously and at a micro level. When you mark a transcription as incorrect or explicitly state a preference, that's a direct signal. But often, it's implicit. For a recommendation system, if you consistently skip certain types of content, that's a signal. The self-correcting model would infer these preferences and adjust its internal weights without explicit intervention, ideally leading to better recommendations or more accurate transcriptions over time.
So, it's learning from my ongoing behavior, not just a one-time dataset. That sounds like a much more intelligent, adaptive assistant. Are there any actual real-world implementations or research areas pushing this forward?
Absolutely. While a fully autonomous production-ready system embodying all of Daniel's vision is still evolving, many AI systems are incorporating elements of this. Consider personalized recommendation engines. Crash, 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 crash. For example, advanced ones don't just rely on your initial preferences. They continuously update your profile based on new items you view, add to a wish list, purchase, or explicitly rate. This continuous feedback loop, often without full fine-tuning of the base model, creates a dynamic profile. In a conversational AI, personal assistants are getting better at remembering context and user preferences across sessions. This isn't full model retraining, but rather an intelligent use of memory layers and dynamic knowledge graphs that are continuously updated. So, if you tell your assistant your favorite coffee order, it remembers it for next time.
But that sounds more like a sophisticated memory than true learning, right? Daniel seemed to be talking about changing the actual underlying model.
You're perceptive, Korn. And you're right, simply remembering facts is different from fundamentally altering the model's perception or generation capabilities. The more advanced implementations are looking at truly adaptive learning. For instance, federated learning is a privacy-preserving technique where models are trained on decentralized user data like on your phone, and only the learned updates are sent back to a central server, which then aggregates these updates to improve the global model. This allows for continuous, incremental learning without centralizing sensitive user data. Each user's device could essentially host a micro-fine-tuned version of the model that's periodically updated locally and then subtly contributes to the global model.
So, my phone's AI could be constantly learning my specific speech patterns or my unique preferences without sending all my private data to a central cloud, and that learning helps me directly and maybe even improves the general model a little bit too? That's really smart.
Exactly. Another area is meta-learning, or learning to learn. These models are designed to rapidly adapt to new tasks or data with very few examples. So, if Daniel started talking about medical terms, a meta-learned model might pick up the new vocabulary and context much faster than a traditional model, requiring less new fine-tuning data. We're also seeing modular AI architectures emerge. Instead of one monolithic model, you might have a core foundation model and then smaller, more agile adapter modules that are easier to fine-tune and update for specific user preferences or domains. These adapters can be swapped or updated without touching the massive base model, making the process much more efficient and less prone to catastrophic forgetting.
That sounds like a much more elegant solution to Daniel's career change problem. Instead of retraining the whole person, the base model, you're just swapping out or updating a smaller skill set, the adapter module.
Precisely. And this is where the concept of a digital twin for a user becomes relevant. Imagine an AI agent that maintains a continuously updating profile of your knowledge, preferences, and even your evolving verbal tics or content consumption habits. This digital twin would then intelligently inform how the base AI model interacts with you, ensuring it remains deeply personalized over time.
This really changes the game, doesn't it? From a static AI that just responds to commands, to an AI that truly understands and grows with you. But what are the challenges in building something like this? It sounds incredibly complex.
The challenges are significant. Computational cost, continuous training, even incremental, still requires substantial computational resources. Finding efficient ways to update models on the fly, perhaps even on edge devices, is crucial. How do you ensure the model remains stable and consistent in its core knowledge while being plastic enough to adapt to new information without forgetting the old? Privacy and security, as the AI learns more about individual users, the ethical implications and data privacy concerns become even more pronounced. How do we ensure that this deep personalization doesn't lead to misuse of personal data? Explainability and control.
Those are definitely big questions. So, for our listeners, what are the practical takeaways here? For developers building AI, and for us, the users, what can we do or expect?
For developers, Daniel's prompt is a clarion call to move beyond model-centric AI design to user-centric AI design. This means, 1, prioritizing adaptive architectures, design AI systems from the ground up with continuous learning and personalization in mind, rather than trying to retrofit it later. 2, robust feedback loops, implement clear, intuitive ways for users to provide explicit feedback and build intelligent systems to infer implicit feedback from user interactions. 3, modular and incremental updates. Explore modular model designs and incremental learning techniques to make personalization more efficient and less resource-intensive. 4. Embrace ethical AI design. Put privacy, security, and user control at the forefront of adaptive AI development.
And for us, the users, what does this mean for how we interact with AI in the future?
For users, it means the promise of truly personalized AI that doesn't just respond to commands, but genuinely anticipates and adapts to our evolving needs and preferences. We can expect AI systems that get smarter with us, reflecting our individual journeys and growth. It shifts the burden of adaptation from the user to the AI.
So, instead of me having to constantly adjust to the AI will adjust to me. That sounds like a much more natural and powerful partnership.
Exactly. The ultimate vision is an AI that's not just a tool, but an evolving extension of our own cognitive processes, continuously learning and adapting to our dynamic lives. It brings us closer to a future where AI systems are not just intelligent, but intimately familiar and uniquely suited to each individual.
That's a truly mind-bending concept, Herman. From the static fine-tune that Daniel experimented with, to this idea of an AI that grows and changes alongside us, it really makes you think about the future of human-AI collaboration on a whole new level.
It certainly does, Korn. It's about building AI that lives and learns, rather than just computes.
Well, Daniel, thank you for sending us such a profoundly thought-provoking prompt this week. You've given us a lot to chew on.
Indeed, Daniel. Your insights into the practicalities and frustrations of current fine-tuning methods have illuminated a critical path forward for personalized AI.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on My Weird Prompts. If you want to dive deeper into more of Daniel's fascinating questions, you can find My Weird Prompts on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcasts.
We'll be back next time with another weird prompt to explore.
See you then! Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.